Hello and welcome to Linoleum Knife, and we have an insane amount of stuff to cover this week, so we're not going to shilly-shally on the introductions. Across the table from me is Dave White, film critic for Movies.com.
Also, you are Alonzo Duralde, who is the DVD editor of MovieLine.com.
Wow, you're really going to be far back from the mic this week. Okay,
I just don't want to
Okay,
fair enough. I was listening
last week. We did that a lot.
I've been doing that a lot. I mean, like, I want to eat the microphone, and I want to, you know, my perfect opinions must be heard.
All right, and I've got you turned up, so it's you know you can sit
am
up.
Am I beautiful sounding?
You are. Yes.
Am I going puh puh puh?
Well, you know, I can never tell that until afterwards, but your levels are good, so
all right.
You can
hold my head rigidly.
Okay.
This many inches away from the microphone,
and I will do likewise.
And that will be my experiment this week.
Yes.
To see, look what I'm doing. I'm making like the turkey thing.
Okay.
Right here. That's how. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Yes. The one hand. Yeah. One hand width. Although your hand are less
hands
wide
are
than mine.
Very. I have delicate little 12-year-old boy hands.
So okay, let's get rolling because there are four big movies opening this week that we need to talk about. And of course, the most important thing to happen to pop culture ever is the release of Justin Bieber Never Say Never 3D. Thoughts?
I'm kind of just thinking about how you brought home a bag of potato chips just now.
It's and French haunting onion. Us in the kitchen. I know. Well,
I want to eat some more of them like right now.
Yeah, that would really sound terrible.
It would sound all right, maybe.
To eat potato chips or anything? No, it would be all, no. It would be
I'm
worse
thinking
than
more about them than I'm thinking about Justin Bieber.
It would be worse than the pudding and the tuing from last week. So
you think?
I think it would.
It could honestly be a sonic experiment.
No.
But 30 minutes is a long time before I get to have more chips.
It will fly by. It always does.
I'm really grateful that you bought them.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I've been needing.
Well, like when you've got dip in the fridge.
Like, I know I sent you to the grocery store to get Cap'n Crunch, and you came back with Cap'n Crunch and Ruffles.
Yes, because I'm a good husband. Normally, we eat much healthier than this, just so you know, folks. This was an anomaly.
In spite of being totally fat,
yes,
we actually do eat really nicely, like organic foods and things and
yeah.
From the farmer's market. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. You brought
Why do you let me go down these
you
roads?
You started with the potato chips. I asked you for your thoughts on Justin Bieber.
You're supposed to keep me in line for this movie discussion.
Bieber, go. What do you got?
I really don't have anything. I don't have any opinion on this kid. I don't care.
Well,
I don't care.
I mean, I'm trying to think, like, the movie could have been much worse.
It's a movie for children.
Yes, it's rated G.
And it's for the little girls and little boys who love Justin Bieber.
Pretty much.
And for the adults that they also showed in the movie who are super into Justin Bieber. Grown-ups.
Not a lot of them.
There were grown-ups on screen, like...
Very few.
Very manic grown-ups who were into
Yeah, well...
What was that? That lady?
That, yeah.
That lady? The jiggly lady?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the jiggly dude?
Who knows?
Super into him.
Who knows what that's about?
They love him. That's what it's about.
And I like pop music. Like, I mean, I thought, like, Hanson in their prime, I thought...
I like pop music.
They did cool stuff, you know, and they had some, they had some great songs. Mbop was a great
that's
song.
That's a great song.
Even the Jonas Brothers concert movie, afterwards, I thought, well, I might give these guys a shot. I might listen to some of their stuff because they work with some interesting people like Blue, who's a singer-songwriter I like, has written some stuff with them.
The Jonas Brothers are really boring.
The Jonas Brothers, yeah, ultimately kind of boring. And really, the Biebs, also kind of boring.
Why did you just call him that?
Because I felt like it. Justin Bieber.
Don't do that anymore.
I'll do what I want.
No, don't.
You're not
do
the
that.
Boss of me.
Don't do that anymore.
Justin Bieber
bores
me.
Because you call him the Biebs and it makes it sound like... Like your friends?
No, it's not like I'm calling him JB or Justin or something.
I think I called him JB in my review.
Ah, see, so there you go.
But that was just to shorten the.
Uh huh.
Like I called him his first and last name, but then I shortened it to his initials for the rest of the review.
Right, well, I said Justin Bieber when we began this, so now I'm just going to. I'll call him the Biebs if I feel like it. Anyway, he bores me musically, and the movie doesn't really do. You know. It's an infomercial for him.
It's for children. It's a movie for children.
You know, I mean, it kind of touches on some interesting ideas just in the
what?
Well, the notion.
What interesting ideas does
the
it
notion
touch on?
Of that this kid has sort of pioneered the whole like social networking climb to fame. I mean, he was doing these YouTube clips from Canada, right, from nowhere.
But like Fallout Boy did it before he did.
Yeah, but you know what? He was like, what, 14 or something?
Born too.
He was some little kid in the suburbs, and then like this producer in Atlanta, you know, sees him and sweeps him up. And then even then, like labels didn't want him, so he starts Twittering, and the little girls start showing up at the radio stations. I mean, so that aspect, I was like, okay, well, this is new and different than he did this thing that really people hadn't quite seized upon before.
There was a vacancy in
little boy,
androgynous boy, musician,
non-threatening boy.
Yeah, and he filled that vacancy.
Yeah,
and he sings fine, and he loves eating donuts out of the garbage, and.
And riding on Segways. You know, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, again, as always, these teen idols, the girl fans, like, no, he's going to be around forever.
And he really does eat donuts out of the garbage.
They never are. But, you know, it'll be interesting
to
see.
The best part of this movie is watching all the little 9-year-old girls scream and cry.
Go
and
talk about how much they love him. Because ballistic.
It's adorable when little girls think they've invented the concept of obsession, like
rock and roll or sex, or anything.
That's fun to watch because they're cute. Like I have an 8-year-old niece, and I bet she loves him too. I've discussed this with her, but I bet she loves him. And you know, her mania is cute.
I just wonder where this guy's going to be in 5 or 10 years. Like, is he going to go, you know, bananas? Is he going to disappear for a while? Is he going to, like, you know, shave his head and grow a beard and come out with a blues album? I mean,
he's
like,
he's already being photographed in non-family friendly photographs.
Well, the Paps have caught him with what, Disney Channel star Selena Gomez, but that's typical. I mean, I mean, in terms of like his musical growth, his musical growth, if he has
on
any
a hotel
musical growth.
Balcony.
I think it's on a boat, actually.
On a boat, on a hotel. It's a hotel.
A balcony on a boat. Anyway, I just wonder, like, is he gonna go to India and smoke pot with the Maharaja?
I don't care.
I'm a little curious.
But, I don't care.
Okay, whatever. The movie to me kind of accentuated everything I hate about contemporary hip hop, where it's like,
how do we start talking about hip hop?
Because you know he works at
Usher. Nothing to do with hip hop.
Usher, but the thing is, his songs aren't necessarily hip hop.
But
they follow that same formula of like, let's sample old good, you know, radio hits, and let's repeat
stuff. Don't even
talk
about hip hop.
And you know,
don't talk about hip hop. You're not the man to talk about hip hop.
Fine, I have opinions.
I know, and they're always wrong.
Yeah,
when it comes to hip-hop.
Yeah. Because you're from the streets.
Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying that I've listened to you and your grandpa ideas about hip hop for the entire 16 years that I've known you,
mm-hmm.
and you like PM Dawn, and that's all you like.
That's not true.
Basically, that is the truth. So don't even. That's not. Just quit it.
Fine, whatever.
I don't care.
You're
about
showing
Justin
off
Bieber.
For company.
I'm not showing off. I'm telling you to behave.
So yeah. So the Bieber movie is what it is, and it's not very interesting.
At the end of the day, it is what it is.
Okay. So let's move on to Just Go With It. Actually, wait, I have one last thing to say about Bieber.
Do I get chips?
The one last thing I was saying about Bieber is that you will have a much more interesting time watching Celine Dion eyes of the world.
That's a fact. That movie is crazy.
And we don't even like Celine either, but her movie is nuts, and she's entertaining.
That movie and the book about her almost made me like her.
The book, incidentally, is Let's Talk About Love, A Journey to the End of Taste, which if you haven't read, is like one of the best things I've ever read about criticism and opinion and taste and art and whatever. It's really, really good.
And Quebec.
Read it. Okay, enough of that. Just go with it.
No.
No. Yeah, I wanted to stick a fork in my eye.
No, I want to stick a fork in the eyes of the people in the movie.
Well, that too.
Kids. Also the kids. Everybody. I will stick a fork in a kid's
the
eye.
Kids had a couple
that
of
kid
the,
is
the
in
kids
that
actually had the
that
few
kid will deserve
the,
to have
the
a fork
only
stuck
the,
in that
the
kid's
only
eye.
Parts I think I laughed in that movie involved the kids when the girl goes face first into the mud.
That was funny.
And where the boy negotiates with Adam Sandler.
And when Adam Sandler gets his balls crushed. That was funny.
Yeah, but that's in the trailer.
I
if
like
you like
parts,
that sort of thing, it's in
I
the
like
trailer.
The parts where people are being injured.
Yeah.
And I wish everyone were being
injured. I would
say
if there'd been actual
injuries. Like if that had been like Jackass 4D, starring Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler, and they were just being assaulted and injured and mutilated for the entire 116 minutes, oh, I might add, I 2 full hours of this.
I wanted to injure director Dennis
Agony.
Dugan.
Yeah. I need potato chips.
There are screenings where you're looking at your watch, and there are screenings where you literally just start hitting yourself in the face and just wanting any kind of escape, and this was the latter.
Do we need to even talk about what it's about and everything? Talk about Cactus Flower.
Okay.
We watched Cactus Flower. This is a...
Just Go With It is a remake of Cactus Flower, which is a 1969 comedy with Walter Matthau and Ingrid Bergman and Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn won an Academy Award. It was her first big movie.
It ain't bad.
It's not great, but it's kind of funny. It has some laughs.
Yeah.
And
got Ingrid Bergman.
You can see Ingrid Bergman
a movie with Ingrid Bergman in frugging. It. That's better than Ingrid Bergman dances in a go-go discotheque.
Yeah, like the boogaloo.
You want to see
and
that.
And it's like Quincy Jones' arrangements of Monkees hits. Right. You know, it's
pleasurable moments.
Yeah.
To be had watching,
which Cactus there were Flower. None in Just Go With It. None.
The parts where people are being hurt.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, they go to Hawaii, and all I could think was, like, Adam Sandler saw a couple's retreat and thought, I want a free vacation, too. You know, it's misery, this movie.
Here's what's really, really bizarre about this movie. And I know that, like, nobody thought about it. No one had a passing thought about this while it was being made. But everybody in this movie is white, okay?
Oh, God, yeah.
I know. And except for... like
the domestics.
The domestics and
the nannies.
And the nanny and the valet.
And the hairdresser.
And the hairdresser. And seriously, all of those characters, they all come in for like one scene each. And they all do something like
super stereotypical.
Buffoonish or clownish or like they're lazy.
Yeah, they're
incompetent.
They're either lazy and incompetent, or in the case of the hairdresser, they're like the snappiest snap queen on earth.
But also crazy.
But also insane.
And then
insane.
Like the concierge at the hotel is this crazy gay.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Dave Matthews, I'm just going to spoil it, Dave Matthews, who's dating Nicole Kidman in the movie.
Married
Nicole
too.
Kidman is in this movie.
Yeah. And she's the funniest thing in it. If that's
He turns gay and picks up a coconut with his butt.
Cheeks.
With his butt cheeks. Say what you said on the way out. Come on. You don't even remember.
Oh, because we all know how to do that or something?
No. You said gays have crazy buttholes.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, it's...
That made me laugh when you said that as we were walking out of the theater.
I mean, the whole...
says it right out loud in front of, like, all these people, kids and stuff. Gays have crazy buttholes. That's why they can pick up coconuts with their asses if they're Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews apparently has a crazy butthole.
Apparently so, yeah. The whole movie is just sort of like... like
Dave Matthews, the singer, by the way. There's not just some actor named Dave Matthews.
No. The Dave Matthews band.
The singer of Dave Matthews' band plays the guy who turns gay and lifts up a coconut with his butthole and is seeing Nicole Kidman.
He's married to.
Married to whatever.
The
who cares?
The whole movie is just sort of like the tribute to Arrested Adolescence, you know. But the thing is that while that's
and pretty, I'm a fan
and
of
and
that.
That's, and that's been Adam Sandler's stock and trade, but he's starting to turn into older Jerry Lewis, you know, when he went from being kind of like, you know, young and intense to sort of bloated and greasy.
It's not that. It's not about greasy or bloated. It's about greasy or bloated ideas. And
no, but his face and the head.
I don't care about his face. His face is going to get his face is going to turn into whatever it's going to turn into.
Right, but if he's
in his 40s and our faces are turning weird.
Yes, but you know what? We don't make movies about being perpetually adolescent. That's when you hit 50. That's going to get hard to do, Adam Sandler.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The crazy bloated ideas are that he went from being like this wacky lovable moron that those early Adam Sandler movies. I'm into them. I'll watch them. They're funny.
No thanks.
Happy Gilmore and stuff. That's funny.
No.
And it is. No. And the thing is that now he wants to occasionally be the serious guy. And I'm not talking about the serious movies that he's made, like Rain Over Me,
Spanglish,
Punch Drunk Love. Spanglish is terrible.
But he's doing something serious.
You know, where he's doing something unusual and it is an anomaly, you know. But these Dennis Dugan directed movies are all about, like, I'm in my middle age now and I'm occasionally serious and sometimes I'm funny, and but you got to pick one, because it's like watching a Tyler Perry movie. It just goes like zoom zoom zoom, like back and forth between, you know, I'm experiencing sentimental love feelings now for Jennifer Aniston, and it's very tender, and we're going to grind the movie to a halt with some little piano music while we discuss our special feelings for one another.
And then, blah, wait, fart joke!
And then, yeah, look, you know, like, yeah. it's out of control. Yeah. And I guess people will go see this movie and
love it. It was the number one movie this weekend.
Okay, well, that means people are stupid. If you went to see this movie and you like it, you're stupid. I'm sorry to report this to you, but if you like this movie, you are stupid. That's sorry. No, actually, I'm not sorry.
No.
Someone needed to tell you, if you like this movie, you are stupid.
I got no argument with that. And as it just between movies, I want to mention you brought up Tyler Perry, which reminds me of my favorite.
I moved my mouth too close to the microphone.
It's okay. It's okay.
But I've returned back to my... I got excited.
My favorite tweet of the week was somebody... If you haven't seen the Atlas Shrugged trailer that's online, it was for the first of three movies that are coming out based on the insane Ayn Rand novel. Somebody tweeted that the trailer makes it look like a Tyler Perry movie for white people.
I wonder if they just heard the traffic noise.
Probably, but
our windows are wide open.
I know. I noticed that the sliding door was open, but whatever. Yeah. You know, the people are not tuning into this for the professional audio. They want to just... It's us talking. Okay.
Especially in summertime, we're going to have to really open all the windows.
Ugh, yeah, or we'll die. Yeah. Okay. The Eagle.
The Eagle.
Which couldn't have been gayer had they filmed it at The Eagle.
Well, you have to explain
in any city near you.
You have to explain
what
that means, because people don't know what that means.
The Eagle, for those...
Because I explained it at... I went to a Gray Drake, my colleague at Movies.com. We went to the Movies.com offices this week to have lunch with everybody on the staff. And
you had to explain
that. And I had to explain what the Eagle was.
Here's a travel tip.
All right.
If you're in any major city in America and you come across a bar called...
Even a minor city.
Yes.
Like they all, like almost, they're all getting to have eagles, it seems.
If you encounter a bar called the Eagle, there's about...
And you're not gay? There's that one would be...
Yeah, there's about a 99% chance that it's a gay leather bar.
If you're not gay and you're not into wearing harnesses and stuff, then you probably had not to go into that bar either.
I mean, if you are gay, is what you mean. You said it, yeah.
If you're gay and you don't want to wear a harness, then you have no business being in that place either.
So, naturally, The Eagle is a new movie about Romans and their slaves.
Right.
And it's crazily gay. Without ever really acknowledging it.
I'm changing my I'm going to say it's not fully gay. I'm going to say it's halfway gay.
It's at least gay adjacent.
It is gay adjacent. You could read it as being real gay. Like, if you walk into the movie going, I'm going to have a gay time.
There's going to be some gay stuff.
I'm going to see gay stuff going down. Then you will see gay stuff going down, because everything you will see will be, you know, filtered through the gay eyes.
The subtext meter.
That you're bringing to the film. But there's, you know, there is tons of subtext to be had if you're looking for it. Well, if you're not looking for it, if you can fine tune your mind to go back to like 1950
to Victor Mature time,
then what you're going to see is this.
Those movies were
like
gay too, though.
Boys' adventure, you know, like it's there's no women in the movie.
Yeah, they were not with speaking.
And it's all about retrieving the golden talisman that the centurions lost in northern England, and
their honor,
and their manhood, and all that stuff. And so that's totally fun.
And it's Channing Tatum in a toga with, you know, his slave Jamie Bell,
Billy Elliot
at his side.
And
Jamie Bell again.
Like, I didn't hate what happened. Like, I wasn't not entertained.
The fighting stuff was okay. I was kind of bored a lot.
It's bloodless fighting. It's a PG-13.
It's PG-13 fighting.
Everybody gets stabbed with a giant sword and no one bleeds.
But, you know, this is the second movie now where Jamie Bell is the far more interesting character, but he's the sidekick.
Right.
If you had to sit through that...
He's a better actor than Channing Tatum.
Tons. And if you had to sit through that crap fest a year or two ago...
Channing Tatum is, if you saw Jumper, them side by side, Channing Tatum is like taller, beefier, sturdier, like bigger all over. And so, obviously...
It makes sense that he's the sidekick.
He's the boss dude in the movie. You know?
But if you saw Jumper, where Jamie Bell was way, way, way more interesting than Hayden Christensen, there's kind of a similar...
But it's still not worth seeing Jumper.
Dynamic here. Do not. The Eagle, like I said, the action stuff is good, but I was kind of bored.
If you want to see a cool movie about this very thing, same plot, basically, last year's movie
Centurion
that barely got released. I don't know what... It came out like last
August. It was one of those video on demands that got a little few theater dates.
Was it Neil Marshall?
Yeah, the guy who directed The Descent and that other crazy
that
one.
That other crazy movie. That
with the car chasing, Underworld.
But yeah, not Underworld. It's something else.
You look it up.
Yeah. Neil Marshall's the name of the director. The movie is Centurion. It is crazily violent and tons more satisfying. If I want to see a movie like that, I want to see Centurion. I want to see something like Valhalla Rising. I want to see the blood when someone gets their head stabbed.
Yeah, I mean, either do full on like wimpy or not wimpy, but you know, like family friendly, like Steve Reeves. Or
that's what this is, though.
Even that, though, it's PG-13, so I wouldn't take a little kid to this.
I would take a 9 or 10 year old boy to see it because that would be like if my nephew, what is he, 6 now?
Yeah.
If he was 9 or 10 and was like, I want to see the eagle, I'd be like, okay. I would take him to see that.
Right. But I'm saying, but you could take him to see like the Steve Reeves Hercules or any of those old silly Hercules.
Of course.
So that's the difference.
But yeah, I mean, it's a PG-13 movie and it's got stabbing, but
yeah.
Again, it's cartoons. It's like cartoon stabbing.
Yeah. It's like in the Prom Night remake.
What did you call it the other day? Bugs Bunny physics.
Bugs Bunny physics, yes. Yeah.
Where nothing, there's no impact.
You know, there's no consequence.
There's no consequence. Or
lingering
nothing,
scars, yeah. And then there's Romeo and Juliet. Which
I'm going to say it again, based on everything we've talked about so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
I didn't hate it. I was amused by the Shakespeare stuff.
That was all right.
I was annoyed by the Elton John stuff.
Which is the whole movie.
There's tons of it.
It's constantly annoying because that's the entire
movie. Yeah, like they'll start playing Crocodile Rock or Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting in like no particular context.
The lawnmower race.
Just to have
where it
there.
Was appropriate.
Okay, that part maybe.
Gnomes are obsessed with lawnmowers.
But you know.
Just that's what you, one thing you learn.
Yes.
Is gnomes are obsessed with lawnmowers. They're obsessed with murdering each other. and destroying each other's lives and property.
Right.
They're hateful little creatures.
Yeah. They're Crips and Bloods. They're red and blue.
They're Crips and Bloods. Yeah. When they come to life when you're not around and they try to kill the F out of each other until Romeo meets Juliet. Who are not particularly interesting lawn decorations.
Not really.
As characters.
She's the typical Disney princess where she's trapped in the tower, but she wants to see the world and have adventures. Right. And, you know, we've seen that a million times.
Whatever.
Adam Sandler
should come along and go...
But there's I do like the fact that at one point Romeo winds up landing on the lap of a giant statue of William Shakespeare, who talks about how Romeo and Juliet ends tragically and how, you know, so at least the movie acknowledges that they're not going to do
the sad ending. I would like to inform you, Holmes, that this story ends tragically.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, we don't want to do it that way. Yeah, seriously, that's exactly, like that's, I'm not even... having a fantasy about what they
that
say.
That actually happens.
That really happens.
You know, but there's some charming stuff to it. But
nonstop annoyed by the Elton John score. That was the laziest score I've ever heard, in a... Like, he takes little snippets of his big pop hit catalog, strings them all together, orchestrally.
Yeah.
And that's what you get. So, in the middle of... scenes where people, I don't even know what they're talking about. They're just talking about, oh, I hate those other gnomes.
And then your song comes
And then your song. You're hearing it in the background. You're like, oh, that's your song. So you don't even know the people, you don't even know the gnomes on screen are saying anymore because you're like, my gift is my song. It made me think of Moulin Rouge more than
Totally. And then there's a lot of really like, you know, that sort of Shrek style, like current pop culture references stuff, that are going to be dated and just, you know. But yeah, I didn't hate it.
Brokeback Mountain references.
Yeah, and Don't Ya by the Pussycat Dolls.
Grown-ups will get the stuff.
What I did like was they throw in a lot of Shakespeare references that are, some of them are subtle, some of them are more in your face. And so if you're paying attention, that's kind of fun, but you know, whatever. Anyway,
that are going to take their kids to see Romeo and Juliet, and you know how much of the Shakespeare they're going to understand? Nothing. You know why? People are stupid.
You're right. Well, the people who like...
taking a dim view of humanity.
The people who like, just go with it anyway. Okay, and so we have a little time left, so you wanted me to talk about my Oscar marathon?
Yes, because it will require nothing of me.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so
I'm going to go get some chips.
No, because I spent December touring for my Christmas movie book. I missed a lot of the year-end, like, you know, Oscar movies. So I had a lot of catching up to do. So I went over to my friend Dave Cobb's apartment and had an all-day marathon on Super Bowl Sunday.
I don't understand how you can do what you did.
Because I used to go to film festivals and do the same thing. It's just it's something you do.
I can see one, maybe two movies in a day.
Yeah.
Two. That's my limit. And they can't be back to back. Like, it can't be a double feature. I don't like double features. My butt starts to get sore. And I two at like one in the morning.
You are not an Iron Man movie.
One in the morning, like at 10 or 11. One in the late afternoon, but not at night. I just want to have my dinner. I'm going to go home and have a nice sleep.
That's you. But I have.
How many did you watch?
I watched six.
That's. It's insane.
Well, I did it, and it was mostly good. Name them. Okay, so we started off with Best Actor nominee Beautiful, which was ass.
Awful.
And then we watched, as a palliative to that horror show.
Palliative?
Yes. The Fighter, which was great. I really enjoyed that. Very, very entertaining. And
I like The Fighter.
Yeah. And then we watched
The Sisters.
The Sisters are
one of them's really a criminal. In actual life, one of them is going around committing crimes, basically as we speak.
Nice.
Which one.
Then we watched Blue Valentine, which I thought was okay. It didn't rock
really
my
liked
world.
Blue Valentine.
I thought it was all right. It's no Two for the Road. It reminded me a lot of Two for the Road with Audrey Hepburn.
If the one thing that really Robert should Finney. Be, you know, people should understand about Blue Valentine is that Harvey Weinstein lobbied or put the thumb screw pressure on
the MPAA.
The MPAA to rate it an R rather than an NC-17 because there's some major naked hip thrusting going on in this film. And
but there's a little too much acting going on.
And they're really like, it's not one of those R-rated NC-17 rated explicit sex scenes where everyone's miserable. They're having fun. And that's the worst thing you can do in a movie.
You enjoy it.
Have sex and both people are super into it.
Yeah. And if he was raping her, they'd have no problem.
Right, yeah, that would be an R.
Yeah.
But because, you know, the woman was getting pleasure, it's NC-17. Okay. But he put the muscle.
Yeah, no, he knows how to do that.
I don't know how I hope he threatened them.
He knows how to work that
stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, so those
because they suck. The MPAA should be abolished.
No, they're ridiculous. Okay, so that was the first three, and then we had lunch, and then
what did you have for lunch?
We went over to this place called Crave in Valley. I had a big Chinese chicken salad. Like it was I could have gotten a half or a regular, and they didn't tell me that the regular meant literally a big plastic salad bowl was coming out. So I did not finish that, but it was real good. And then we watched Animal Kingdom. With Best Supporting Actress nominee, which is okay. It was interesting, but it felt kind of familiar. You're not having chips.
Keep talking.
No keep chips for you. It's going to be too loud.
Keep talking. Don't waste time.
You're the worst. All right. And then I saw True Grit, which was wonderful. Really, really entertaining. Really enjoyed it. You're not eating those near the microphone.
I promise I won't.
You just did it. Give me those chips.
I'm not new to my...
Give me those chips.
You keep talking about the movies.
Give me those chips.
I will give you one when you finish talking about the movies.
I don't want to eat one. I want to take them from you.
No. You keep talking about the movies that you watched.
All right, fine. And then we ended the day with Rabbit Hole, which is not...
Starring Just Go With It's Nicole Kidman.
Yes. And it's not the stone cold bummer that you thought it might be. I mean,
it is a bummer.
It's sad, but it's not unrelentingly like Bergman sad. It's, you know, it's good.
It's
There are laughs in it, and it's
well, a really good movie. I
back.
I found it to be moving.
Oh, were you moved? Yes, no,
I
me
was
too.
Truly moved.
yeah, no, I was actually. It was really good. So that was my day. That was my Oscar marathon day. And so one last thing. We have about a minute left. Our friend Pyro writes in and says nice things about the show and says that he likes it when Dave makes my voice go up 2 octaves. But anyway,
did you say that, really?
He did. He also asks that we end...
When do I do that?
You know, when you say something, I'm like, nah, nah, you know, I do that sometimes. It's a
character. You do that.
It's a character flaw.
You do that.
Anyway, he asks that we end each show with a stop with the chips. God. He asks that we end each show with a DVD recommendation.
We talked about it already.
What? That was not tonight. Right. He asked that we end each show with a DVD recommendation because
I think that's a good idea.
Not all the movies that we talk about open everywhere in the country. So,
like Blue Valentine is not coming to you.
Probably not. Unless it somehow wins Best Actress, which it won't. Right. My original choice for a DVD recommendation this week was the awesome PBS masterpiece series, Downton Abbey, which just came out. TV show.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, well, you know, it's our show. We can do what we want.
No, it's not. We've talked about movies.
Fine. All right.
Downton Abbey is fantastic.
Yes.
But it's a TV show.
Fine. All right. It is a TV show. I don't think people care if we talk about TV shows, but
Downton.
Downton. Yes.
Downton Abbey.
It's real good.
It's really great.
But we're not talking about it because it's a TV show. So.
Right.
You wanted to talk about Miss Elizabeth Taylor.
That's right, because she's in the hospital.
Again.
With congestive heart failure.
Poor thing.
I just saw it on the news.
So,
and I thought we should talk about an Elizabeth Taylor movie.
Yes. And many of our favorite Elizabeth Taylor movies are not on DVD, shockingly enough. Boom, not on DVD. X, Y, and Z, not on DVD.
Also another great one.
Driver's Seat, also not on DVD. Great one. Yeah. So we're going with The VIPs.
Which is actually very boring. But here's why you should watch it anyway. Because it's set in an airport in the 1960s.
Back when jet travel was still glamorous.
The whole movie, these people are just stuck in an airport in 1960, what, 7?
Yeah, late 60s.
Whatever. And you would think they were
at the UN or
boarding.
Something.
Yeah, they're at the United Nations or boarding some sort of luxury liner
or a spaceship.
It's. I don't remember what happens.
Well, okay, she's like trying to leave her husband Richard Burton to go off with Louis Jourdan, but then Burton shows up at the airport, and then they like argue a bunch. And then, like, Rod Taylor is trying to save his company, and Maggie Smith is his devoted secretary.
Oh, yeah. Young Maggie Smith.
Young Maggie Smith, who's also in Downton Abbey. Old Maggie Smith is in that, and she's great. And then, what's her face? Rutherford.
Lady Dame somebody somebody.
You know, she plays Miss Marple in all those movies. I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. Margaret Rutherford. Plays a dotty old lady, as she always does. And she won an Oscar for it, just like Goldie Hawn.
And that's hilarious because this movie is not worth any kind of Oscar.
Well, it's funny because Helen Hayes won an Oscar a few years later for Airport, which is kind of the same movie, only nothing is about to crash.
Airport is on the plane, though,
yes.
Mostly.
And this is if Airport were actually set at the airport and there was no disaster,
and there was no bomb.
You have the VIPs.
Yeah. So basically, nothing exciting happens. And it's all in the waiting area.
It could be a double feature with Unaccompanied Minors, movies that are set entirely in airports.
You know what it reminded me of? You know what movie it reminded me of?
What?
The Cobweb, which is another movie where nothing happens. But I would still recommend it.
Yeah, which is hilarious. Because it's all about drapes.
It's like they get these all-star casts of really old people to, you know,
yell at each other.
Yell at each other in an enclosed space.
Yes.
And then nothing happens to them. Nothing exciting at all.
And that's entertainment.
The Cobweb is actually about curtains.
It's about drapes in a mental institution.
Drapes in a mental hospital. What will they do?
What drapes will they choose?
Drapes will they choose for the mental hospital?
We're not making this up. That's really what this movie is about.
It's great.
Look, put it in your
TCM.
TiVo.
It
comes
on
TCM.
TCM, like,
all the time. Vincent Minnelli directed it.
It is on TCM on a semi-regular basis.
Yes.
It is not obscure. I mean, it is obscure, but it's not hard to find.
It might even be on DVD now. Like, Warner Archive might have put it out or something.
They should.
It's
if they
hoot.
Haven't, they should. Because it's a perfect example about a movie being about nothing and still totally entertaining. Which is just what the VIPs is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our show.
Time for chips.
Okay, join us next time. Tell your friends. We will be starting a Facebook page soon, and we'll let you know about that.
Alonzo will be starting a Facebook page.
Yes, and if you have any questions or comments or requests or whatever, drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
And I will ignore them.
But I will read them. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Or you'll hear us next week. Whatever.